If English is not your first language, working in an English-speaking job presents particular challenges. Research has traditionally assumed it's about communication, making yourself understood and understanding others. And of course, that is a major issue. But a paper published in the Journal of Business Studies suggests the story is a lot more complex than that. The co-author, Dr. Stefan Volk from the University of Sydney Business School, has examined the mental strain of working in a language that is not your native tongue. He told James Carlton it can often lead to poor judgments or decisions being made.
What we have demonstrated is the brain has a limited information processing capacity, and using a foreign language uses up some of this limited capacity, leaving less resources for other cognitively demanding tasks. So the classic multitasking, writing emails, thinking about a problem, etc., is reduced when you do it in a foreign language. On the other hand, we have also shown that self-regulation, like flight attendants are supposed to display positive emotions throughout the day. Obviously, we are not always in a positive mood. That requires self-regulation. It requires reminding yourself, which taps into exactly the same resource, which is again already used up by foreign language processing. This has two consequences. Either your ability to communicate in a foreign language suffers, or your ability for self-regulation suffers.
This is an irony, of course, because flight attendants are particularly desirable if they're multilingual.
Exactly. There are two sides to this. If you learn a language before the age of 5, you will process the language in the old automatic part of your brain. That means you are not affected by this cognitively depleting effect at all. You can learn 3 languages before the age of 5 and they will all be fully automatically, unconsciously processed. So this is not a problem for you. If you learn a language after the age of 5, the better you speak the language, the less significant is the effect.
Does that apply evenly across vocations from skilled to unskilled?
It is less of a problem for unskilled blue-collar labor because, for example, if you're fixing cars or you're a carpenter or construction worker, first of all, you won't communicate too much, and secondly, the tasks that you're performing tend not to be cognitively demanding. It is much more an issue for people working in high-skilled labor, people making very significant and important decisions. Think of an airline crew, for example, having a critical incident. The same can happen in a nuclear power plant, in a combat situation, in the military, a surgery, for example, or an important investment decisions. So people making high-stake decisions in a very short time frame, you're already under stress, and you need all your available cognitive resources to thoroughly think through the problem and make a proper decision. If that happens in a foreign language, the capacity is reduced and people are more likely to make a gut decision. We call that using heuristics or rules of thumb. Instead of thoroughly thinking through the problem, you're jumping to a conclusion based on past experiences what has worked before. And that can be problematic because you are inevitably ignoring some important information.
So for a country like Australia with millions of people who have their mother tongue, a language other than English, and also for the Australian economy, which is forever trying to attract the highly skilled international labour, what are the implications of this?
So Australia is in a global competition for talent. And very often employers don't really have the choice between a native speaker and a non-native speaker. We want to attract these people to our country and use their exceptional skills. So the first message that we have is for the non-native speakers themselves. They must be aware, for example, when they have an important interview or presentation in a foreign language, they will practice a lot before that presentation. But what they're not realizing is that while doing so, they are already depleting these resources that they have. So for the employees, it's a matter of consciously managing your resources, for example, reverting back into your native language when you can, taking breaks. And for organizations, it is a question of giving the employees an environment that helps them. A very simple example is glucose, which is brain fuel. So the brain is operating on glucose. If our glucose levels go down, our ability for cognitive processing are reduced. So a person who's communicating in a foreign language and is hungry, I mean, these are two effects that are affecting that person's ability to process information. In fact, that the person is hungry is totally unnecessary.
So you're encouraging employers to provide sweets and to get their staff to speak in a foreign language.
Well, I mean, if you're a group of Chinese engineers or Indian engineers, letting them communicate in the native language while they're having a team meeting.
This has nothing to do with a cultural sensitivity motivation, but a hard-nosed application of resources efficiently.
Exactly. I mean, There is this limitation of using a foreign language, but we can manage it actively and we can find ways to reduce the negative consequences. But obviously for myself, working at an Australian university as a German, this is part of my own experience. It is frustrating after a while when I teach at the end of the lecture how I'm making more and more mistakes and getting lazy in terms of my thinking. And after I did this research, I was much better able to understand myself and why this happened.
And perhaps you've finally proven scientifically the value of a student giving a teacher an apple.
Yes, exactly. Anything that kicks up your glucose level can have a positive effect. It can be very simple things.
That's Dr. Stefan Falk from the University of Sydney Business School speaking with James Carlton.